So everybody, I wanted to firstly wish you a very good morning here from here. I'm in London and Justin is in very far away Singapore. So that's why we're an hour later because Justin's been teaching today, and thank you for changing your schedules if you've joined us live. There are also lots of people we realise who aren't joining us live. So hello, whatever point in your day you're managing to listen. So we are ready to begin with our source for this week, which is Joanna Macy's The Great Turning, a piece from her work. We're really excited to be reading this, and something that's really precious to our hearts, both me and Justin, and also the wider faculty of Third Space and people on our programs, is this thing about the state that the world is in. And many of us feel worried and scared and traumatized and small and powerless and all of these things, given the state of the world at the moment. And every day something else comes. Every day there's some new violence or transgression or sadness about how things are unfolding. And this feels important for us to be in discussion around. So we're going to begin with the reading. Justin's going to do this for us. And then we're going to have our usual chat about it. So, and as we go, I'm certainly also aware that last week I kind of shared how I'm doing and everything. And I know that that's an important part of this. So as it unfolds, I'm sure that we'll get to also participate in a way that you get to feel into our worlds as well. I think we should begin with the reading. Justin, you're gonna do this for us.
I'm going to say something actually before I read it. So the reason I'm in Singapore is that it has been the completion weekend of the professional coaching course that Lizzie and I are both involved with that happens in various places around the world. So I've had the opportunity to fly out to complete with a class that I started with last year. And this reading, the topic of it has been really present for all of us because we're sending 19 new coaches out into the world. And it seems to me that what Joanna Macy is talking about is what's called for. We had a long conversation about this today, about what it is to be someone who can respond to the world, who isn't just caught up in keeping things going the way they are. And of course, that's one way that coaching can be, is a way of how do I step into the culture as it is and just get better and better and better at it? But another way of going is to be someone who can take a stand, which is what I know we think coaches are for. So I'm reading this for all of us. I'm reading this for all of our graduates who are taking their step for the first time. And I'm reading this for anyone who's dedicating themselves to, as I came across this from Margaret Wheatley today, who says, when the world is in turmoil, there are always leaders who step forward. So this is in support of all of us who might be up for playing our part. And it's called Personal Guidelines for the Great Turning by Joanna Macy. Come from gratitude. To be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it, is a wonder beyond words. Gratitude for the gift of life is the primary wellspring of all religions, the hallmark of the mystic, the source of all true art. Furthermore, it is a privilege to be alive in this time when we can choose to take part in the self-healing of our world. Lizzie, I have this idea that you should read the next bit.
Okay. Don't be afraid of the dark. This is a dark time, filled with suffering and uncertainty. like living cells in a larger body, it is natural that we feel the trauma of our world. So don't be afraid of the anguish you feel or the anger or fear. For these responses arise from the depth of your caring and the truth of your interconnectedness with all beings. To suffer with is the literal meaning of compassion.
Dare to vision. Out of this darkness, a new world can arise, not to be constructed by our minds so much as to emerge from our dreams. Even though we cannot see clearly how it's going to turn out, we are still called to let the future into our imagination. We will never be able to build what we have not first cherished in our hearts.
Roll up your sleeves. Many people don't get involved in the great turning because there are so many different issues which seem to compete with each other. Shall I save the whales or help battered children? The truth is that all aspects of the current crisis reflect the same mistake, setting ourselves apart and using others for our gain. So to heal one aspect helps the others to heal as well. Just find what you love to work on and take joy in that. Never try to do it alone. Link up with others. You'll spark each other's ideas and sustain each other's energy.
Act your age. Since every particle in your body goes back to the first flaring forth of space and time, you're really as old as the universe. So, when you're lobbying at your congressperson's office, or visiting your local utility, or testifying at a hearing on nuclear waste, or standing up to protect an old grove of redwoods, you are doing that not out of some personal whim, but in the full authority of your 15 billion years.
So I don't know about you, Justin, but listening and reading and speaking this has my body go like, ooh, like I can feel a naming of, I mean, hundreds of important things that give a certain kind of bodily freedom around much which has me be anxious. You know, so what Joanna is doing for me is to provide an intelligent voice and heart into the world of gratitude and fearlessness and really seeing and being pragmatic, which feels like an invitation to power, something powerful, rather than this powerlessness of just being stopped and arrested by the world and what's happening in it. And the joyfulness that it's not personal, that I'm not doing this out of some personal whim, but there is a tide of ancestry and purposefulness that brought me here to be a voice for much more than just my preferences or something. And that fills me with a kind of meaning. And mostly this time in my path, meaninglessness is pretty strong. So my default right now is I don't know what anything means, what anything is for. And I'm really acquainted with that. So it's not traumatic or something, it's just kind of normal. And I feel like this speaks of something that comes out of meaninglessness too. Something that can grow out of meaninglessness is this powerful something. So I'm feeling very settled and welcoming of all of the topics. and always grateful to hear your voice as well, as well as my voice. It's like just to be read to is really luxurious.
It is, isn't it? I was in Singapore exactly a year ago, the last time I was here, and it was just after the American election results, which had a huge impact on me, mostly in the midst of everything else that was already I knew about going on in the world, sent me into a terrible, apparently unresolvable spin of terror. And the hugest part of the terror for me was feeling separate from everything and feeling like there was nothing I could do but just wait, which of course is a terrifying place to be only subject to the world. One of the things I'm really grateful for, I'm grateful for Joanna Macy in so many ways, and so much of her work is just brilliant and is really worth, I think, everybody finding out what she has to say. That she breaks through the sort of polarity of either it's all terrible and there's nothing I can do and no way to be, or a kind of naive hopefulness, which is, well, it'll work out. And neither of those get us anywhere. And I can feel the temptation of both in me. They're very strong. So when she says, I think the part that touches me the most today is that we're 15 billion years old. Because maybe part of what got us into the mess that we're in is our sense of separateness from everything. Like somehow we just arrived. I'm this separate self that just arrived on the earth, which either makes me terribly powerless or it makes me very powerful, because you know what, who cares? I can just really do what I want.
Yeah.
Which in the end is a very empty place to stand. And to remember that we are the product, or the that which has been brought forth by 15 billion years of the universe that we know unfolding and doing its thing, gives us both tremendous authority, which is always the capacity to make things, to write things, to, I love the connection between authorship and authority. So it gives us authority, and it also gives us humility. Like, let's remember that we're part of something giant that is also 15 billion years old. Mm-hmm. The bit I love about it the most is it also gives us responsibility. As to know ourselves as ancients, to recover deep roots that don't, this is what I think is so brilliant, and I'm just finding this for the first time as we're talking about it, is to know ourselves this way, we don't have to find ourselves, we don't have to locate the story of our ancestors and say, this is the story of my people or of my land or of my nation, and I declare myself part of it. We just have to know ourselves as part of existence as a whole. And now we can act because we have the deepest roots imaginable. And it doesn't matter whether or not you share the same recent, you know, our human history is so tiny relative to 15 billion years of history that we are equally the inheritors of. So it's both incredibly kind writing and fierce, and it's genius. Because it can liberate us from the sense that nothing will ever change, by reminding ourselves of something much bigger that has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm saying that clearly enough, but what we're in is so big, but it's also so tiny.
Yeah.
We could turn things round. It's a lot of work, but boy, can we turn things round. We're not stuck. There's everything to play for here and to work for.
Yeah. So
I'm feeling all of that and feeling what it's like to be in conversation about it as well, to not just be sitting in my room here and on the 29th floor reading something, but to be in relationship with you, Lizzie, and of course with anybody else who happens to find their way into this. We're all in this together. We're all 15 billion years old and have the same authority and the same responsibility.
Yeah. And it's funny, Justin, I'm particularly moved by the 15 billion part two, as well as the rest of it. But I feel like there's 15 billion years, and there is relationship with each one of those billion years. So to feel not separate from even my father and his father and his father's generation, like it's enough work to keep me in business for a long time, you know. And having that possibility, plus the kind of feeling, I guess, of the ancestry, of the beforeness of anything I can consciously right now know, feels like a really big invitation. And I say that particularly because there is, I think I mentioned last week, so my grandfather died 2 weeks ago this coming Tuesday, and we have his funeral this week. And much is being discussed and revealed in our family because of his death and us finding letters and pictures and all this stuff. And there's a way that it gets very personal. And I'm finding right now my contemplations going to how also impersonal this whole thing we call family is, at the same time as being deeply personal. Like there's something playing out that is of these 15 billion years in each of our families, in each of our systems, and in each of our coaching relationships, and in each of our coaching trainings, and in each of our team meetings that we have together. Like any constellation is birthing something out of those 15 billion years. And in this moment, I'm finding it really helpful to be attuned to the way that we make stories up, which have fact in them and which are true and which are understandable and you can feel and have compassion for, and also find yourself in massive judgment and anger and self-righteousness and even contempt, and there's so much in our family systems. And I'm feeling really invited into the inquiry of things working themselves out through us, life working itself out through us. And the way that Joanna says, like, find the thing that you love and do that thing. I frequently have this thing of, well, why aren't I on the front line? Why aren't I saving those whales who wash up on the beaches with cars in their stomachs? Like, really, why aren't I doing that? Why aren't I handing out bananas in Greece at the refugee camps? What? And there's a way that her articulation of that is dignifying the important work that each of us are doing by participating in the things that we are in already, in a way that is oriented towards healing, because that part of the system being shifted helps the other parts of the system too.
Yeah.
And that in relationship to the 15 billion years part feels like a dignifying of my life and our lives, and allows what's happening to be important, not to be something to be shoved to the side, but that we aren't separate. There's a system at work here, and each of our relationships and each of our stories playing out in the bigger context of what it means to be a human being is contributing to the great turning. Like, we are contributing already to the great turning. And of course, there's action required and making a stand. And in this stuff about my granddad, I'm certainly making a stand. But I'm making a stand here, not imagining I could make a stand somewhere else. And then having a story of me handing out bananas playing out in my mind when I'm not even near the banana store. It's like doing what I'm doing and being who I'm being is what's needed. And that feels like an empowering place rather than a diminished place in the context of this, the 15 billion years thing.
Yes. It's such an amazing invitation to work on healing what we love to work on. and to start close in to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I think it seems to me the truth is there will always need to be people to hand out food, for example, to refugees coming in on islands in Greece.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's not for each of us to do. Maybe that's the thing that we find ourselves called to do, and then the thing to do is go to Greece.
Mm.
Like, listen out, be attentive to what's calling you. It seems to me the mistake here would be to read what she's saying as if it were, which I know she doesn't mean, just only have a small attention, only look at what's close in. But we also have to heal what's close in. We have to participate in the undoing of all the ways in our families we got separated from one another and our families got separated from the world, and we have to undo the separation in ourselves. And we have to contribute in other ways too. And it's so paralyzing to get into a narrative of there's somewhere better that I could be helping and I'll wait until I find it, or I'll eat myself alive, or, you know, whilst I do something else, or I'll go and help somewhere else and at the same time cause great hurt in some way, or drive a great rift in myself or between myself and others, or for the sake of doing that thing over there. She is reminding us that there are 7 billion plus of us on this planet.
Mm.
And that 7 billion people can do so much if we'll attend to what's calling to us to attend to, and if we'll look after what's calling for us to look after.
Yeah.
Which is really what I felt teaching here these last few days is, what were there, 20 people in the room, 25 of us in total, what is there to do but to support these people right now in taking a step into the world?
Yeah.
And she doesn't say it, but it seems very clear to me as we are talking about this, that one healing, one aspect, actually she does say it much better than I'm going to say it now. So I read what she says. To heal one aspect helps the others to heal as well. And of course that's true. If I, as you do this work of the healing in your family that you want to bring about, that of course makes it possible for people in your family to be another whole kind of presence in the world.
Mm.
It can seem very tiny, but it's really very big, particularly if enough people are paying attention to this.
Yeah. And it's making, just as you're speaking, Justin, it's really making me think that I think there is, in many of the coaching conversations I've had and in my own family, there are ways that we reach outside of our family way before our family can take us reaching outside of it. As in, there are those of us who do the done thing, which is to be helpful and good on the outside. But on the inside of the family, there's a discrepancy, and that to miss out what's closest to home and to go far from home leaves a whole kind of trouble at home that generates more of this suffering and difficulty just right here. And so I know that in my family, there's a history of us feeling that my granddad, for example, being extremely magnanimous to people on the outside and really mean to people at home. And so stretching himself into the whales and the bananas in Greece and the people at home really not having any of what they need as a human being, as in somebody to be around and be with them, do bath time and have sandwiches made for them. And by somebody that they want sandwiches made by. And I'm really feeling the importance of home. And if each of us would attend to home in a healing fashion, you know, with consciousness and with understanding, it also makes so much more possible further out into the world. But it kind of, that has to start somewhere close.
Yes.
Feels really important.
Yes.
And also people who are mums and who can't go to the whales because they have a tiny little baby that they are bringing into the world, or three teenage children, or and dads. You know, it's like, yes, to extending ourselves further into the world and that part of the world is no more important than this part of the world, that it's all equal, that we all deserve, every single one of us, attention and to be in each other's being.
I've been reading and thinking a lot, Lizzie, about hate in politics and about how things spread on social media, which of course we ourselves here are trying to do something that can spread on social media too. And it seems to me that it's becoming ever clearer to me that one of the things that we each need to do when there are forces in the world that will split us apart and have us human beings despise one another, that the first step is to speak out.
Yeah.
We need as many people in the world who can see something different to say stuff, to write stuff, to respond to what's hateful that they come across, to all of that. And the reason I'm saying this now is because our capacity to do that, our capacity to take a stand on behalf of something that Joanna Macy is inviting us into, is not separate from how we care for the people close to it, care for the people close to us and how they care for us. So it would be also a mistake, I think, to take what we're saying to one another as if it were forget the world and just attend to home, or just attend to the world and, you know, who cares about what's going on close by. They're one and the same thing. So this roll up your sleeves, which is the part that we've been talking about, is also don't be afraid of the dark. Like, we have to be prepared to face what's dark, hopefully face what's dark right here, and to also face what's dark in those parts of the world that we care about. And, oh, this is coming to me, let ourselves care about them, which is a very countercultural narrative, to really let yourself deeply care about something. Because mostly we're taught you should only care about it, what if it pays you money or gets you status or gets you ahead.
Yeah.
I remember hearing in a very dispiriting way some young people on a school video promoting a school saying, you know, I studied this subject because it helps me to get ahead of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly the same thing. We have to give up this. But I'm echoing what you're saying, is that how can we learn to become people who do that and have people around us able to do that if we're not prepared to also do it right where we're situated,
yeah,
with our neighbours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know about you, Justin, but my capacity to do anything sensible in the world does rest on me having support from very close by. Mm. I can't do the things that I do without knowing there's a place to return to when it all goes wrong.
Right.
And so nurturing that space close in isn't, as you say, separate from what's outside my front door, beyond my front door, beyond my immediate relationships. And certainly when I'm stretched into worlds that feel like I'm an alien in them, I can feel and tolerate my alienness much better if I know that there are places where I'm not an alien. It feels like that's the thing. It's like there's a way we can tolerate things that don't feel like us without separating from them, when what's close in feels like it's been nurtured and healed and is healing and that there's safety. So for us, for example, to be in the darkness and in our suffering without doing something immediately to shut it down so that I don't have to feel this or deal with this or tolerate this, there also has to be a sense of our identity that we are inquiring about all the time that supports us, a deeper identity, a question of who we really are, that comes from our own practices and our own inquiries and our own reflection and the relationships around us and the relationships we have in history, that serves us to tolerate what it feels like to feel unfamiliar. And this great turning thing requires us to be in the unfamiliar. It requires us to confront things that we don't want to look at in ourselves. You know, it requires us to dare, and daring means stepping beyond what my habitual routine might look like, and actually taking a stand feels like too big a challenge if I haven't got my center at least accessible to me in some way because of the way I'm being close in my life.
Mm.
And the bit that I think is super important is that Joanna Macy is inviting us to turn towards one another and to not do this alone. And of course, inherent in that is relationship. And to be in something together requires us to be close and intimate and open and vulnerable and in a depth of relationship with others that it strengthens us to be able to do whatever this work of the great turning might be. And that's what I think this is in service of, is you and I having this conversation, building a way to be together, even if we're not physically together. And I draw deep strength and courage and hope from all of the togetherness that I invest in and feel the beneficiary of. And I don't think really any of this is possible for most of us without this start close in, as you say, without this community and being held in something that's bigger than just my little fearful antics that go on in my mind about what's possible and what's not possible for me in the world. And just connecting feels like nothing can really happen before that.
Hmm. This, I can see we're coming to the end of our published time already, but I do want to say this, because it's implied in everything that you're saying, is that it is about our families, of course, but it's not the case that everybody has a family which is safe enough to do this work in. And it's not the case that everyone has a family that they're close into. And that's also why community is important. And community has been largely taken from us. There are very few people who feel deeply part of community. And of course, I agree with you, Lizzie, that partly what we're doing here is extending the sense of community that we've been making already in this thing that we call third space, and finding a way to extend it more widely and to create all different kinds of community. Because, like you say, we actually can't do this unless we're in it together.
Mm.
And having a community that can get committed to the kind of things Joanna Macy talks about is also a way of having communities that don't wall us off from the world. Because that's the other way community can go, is only people who are like me, only people I like. But it's such a different thing to say, we'll turn towards life, but we'll turn towards life with one another.
Yeah.
So I learned this word from you a couple of weeks ago. I feel enhopened, which is such a fantastic Lizzie Wynn way of saying things that I'm taking up.
Yeah.
I feel enhopened by being in this conversation and by keeping on coming across people who are asking the same questions.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think we have to end. We have to honor our Sunday morning commitment and let people go about whatever it is that they have to do next.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm very, I'm also enhopened and grateful. I actually feel pretty kind of impassioned at the same time as enhopened. Like there's something burning, and it's a light.
Time to get to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you, Lizzie, and thank you, everyone. I think we are planning to be back on our regular schedule next Sunday. We will announce if it's not the case, but otherwise, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. UK time on Sunday the 26th of November, we'll be with you again. Bye, everyone.